You hear the word of God that comes to us this morning from Matthew's gospel. Once again, we're in the sixth chapter. This morning we begin in verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's the word of God for the people of God. Maybe see. When our oldest daughter was about 4 years old, she was playing in the yard one day, and I was out there watching her, or supposed to be watching her, and she was digging around in the dirt when suddenly she stands up and she runs over to me and she hands me something. She says, "Look, Daddy, I found treasure." Now, what she held up for me was a small gold-colored coin that I assumed was some trinket from a McDonald's Happy Meal that she was holding on to, or maybe at best one of those gold foil covered chocolate coins that used to come in the little pouch. You remember those? And I paid almost no attention to what she was handing me, and she gave it to me for safekeeping, and she headed back off in the yard to dig for more buried treasure, she said. When I took it in my hand, though, the first thing I noticed was it was heavy. Unusually heavy to be a McDonald's Happy Meal trinket. So I began to clean it off, and much to my amazement, what she had just handed me was a $5 gold piece that was minted in the 1800s. Needless to say, I grabbed my shovel and we excavated the entire yard. I'm kidding, sort of. I probably did join her over there scratching around in the dirt because I was supposed to be playing with her anyway. Well, guess what we did with that coin? We took that coin and we went to the bank and we put it in our safe deposit box. Interesting name we give those boxes we have in the safe down at the bank, right? Safe deposit box. It's where we put our treasures, where we don't want moth and rust to consume and thieves to break in and steal. The funny thing is I got all the contents out of our safe deposit box recently looking for something and kind of went through everything that was in there. I happened to find this stock certificate that was issued because we had some stock in this company, and this was a spinoff company, and so they just gave us this stock certificate. When they issued it, it was worth a few thousand dollars, and so I put that certificate in the safe deposit box and thought, I'll just hold on to that while it grows. Well, the spinoff company went under, and that stock that was worth a few thousand dollars is now worth $35. And two or three times a year, I get a 9-cent check from them. And they sent me a letter a time or two saying, we wish you would cash this $35 worth of stock in so we don't have to keep sending you this 9-cent check. But I just to spite them, I make them have to spend 52 cents to send me that 9-cent check. And then I wrote that and I thought, didn't I preach on forgiveness last week? Something about carrying debt. But my point is, even in a safe deposit box, some things are not safe, right? Unlike when we were children watching Disney movies about pirates and genies and treasures, we probably don't think about or talk about our possession as our treasures. But Jesus did, and we understand the concept, right? We have things that we put in the category of treasures. We all certainly treasure certain things. Because to treasure something is to value it, it is to hold on to it, it is to cherish it. Not everything we treasure in life has monetary value. Maybe more than anything else, we would say we treasure our relationships, right? To our parents, or our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our friends. Last night we had a wedding in here, and I asked that couple, like we ask every couple in a wedding, that says, "Will you love, comfort, honor, and keep each other?" You know what that sounds like? Will you treasure each other? Will you do the things you need to do to keep this relationship that you treasure secure, that you protect it from all things that could threaten it? We also have other things that we treasure in life, things that are really not so much about monetary value, but things we might say are priceless. Often we call those keepsakes. They usually are kept because they hold a memory of someone or some experience that was important to us, and so we hold on to those things. Some of you have heard me talk over the years occasionally about the fact that I have my father's old truck. Now, Kelley Blue Book, I looked it up recently, Kelley Blue Book says that old truck is worth, at most, in excellent condition, $1,500. Now, I wouldn't take $15,000 from my father's truck. Nobody's really ever offered me $15,000 for my father's truck. Good thing it happened, probably. But I've taken care of that thing over the years. You know, one house I had a shelter put up to put it under, and now I have this cover that goes over it. It's not worth that much money, but I treasure that old truck. One of our other daughters, she was a rock collector. Under her bed were boxes of rocks. Everywhere went she collected rocks. They were really of no value to anyone except her, right? They were, she called her, treasures. I mean, you can walk out there on any given day, you can meet folks that are literally homeless and have nothing, but they carry around sometimes some functionally useless things because they treasure them. You heard that old saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure? We all, to be human, is to treasure things. When Jesus talks about what we treasure in this passage today, he does so in terms of offering some wisdom about things and some warning about things. So he says, first of all, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and thieves could break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So to begin with, it seems that Jesus wants to give his followers a perspective on life, a bigger perspective, a farther reaching perspective. I mean, the problem is, we live in this world. I mean, we know by faith that there is something beyond this life and beyond this world, but the reality is our experience is right here and right now. It's finite and it's passing away. I mean, all things. But it's really hard for us to think beyond this. But it means that we live often short-sighted. And we do that not just about spiritual things. We do that, you know, in life itself. We're short. So when you're short-sighted, it always has negative consequences. I mean, if you're short-sighted in building a relationship, you know, sometimes we get so enamored with someone in the moment, it'll cause us to overlook things that will have long-term effect on our relationship. In business, sometimes we fail to depreciate items long enough, you know, when things wear out and we're not prepared for that in our business. Or other times we're overreaching in the present because things are good and we think things are always going to be good. And because we're short-sighted, sometimes we get in trouble in the long run. I mean, even planning for retirement these days, we have these actuaries that are telling us that life, average lifespan is getting longer and that we probably have a greater liability for us than we might think we have because we tend towards short-sightedness in almost everything. Using the same principle, Jesus reminds us that being short-sighted spiritually also is dangerous. Maybe it has some eternal consequences. The reality is, you know, we don't really want to confront the fact that everything that we treasure in this world truly is temporary. It is finite. It is passing away. The great Russian writer Leo Tolstoy, who after becoming a really successful and famous writer of what are still considered some of the greatest novels ever written, fell into a place of despondency in his life. And he did so because he became fixated on the idea that everything he valued in his life would pass away or die. You know what saved him? It was the Sermon on the Mount. He began to study Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, he really ceased becoming a novelist much after that. He spent most of the rest of his life as a theologian and teacher of spiritual truths, largely the Sermon on the Mount that he wrote extensively about. The fundamental values and theological principles that he taught were all from Jesus. And what happened is he began to think about life eternally. And he sort of got beyond this idea that everything he valued and everything he loved was passing away because he began to see that life was more than this life and that things that we do in this life have eternal consequences. So the question Jesus is raising for us today is, how do I store up treasures in heaven? If things here are going to fade away, how do I hold on to things that I value eternally? How do I make an investment that really can't be lost here? Randy Alcorn wrote a little book based on this passage from Jesus that I've mentioned before when we were talking about stewardship called The Treasure Principle. And it's a paraphrase of what Jesus just said. And his paraphrase is, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's Jesus' principle. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. See, often we hit a point in life when we start asking questions about, what am I doing here on earth that is going to last beyond me? I mean, from a financial perspective, people begin to think about things like wills or permanent trust or endowments.
there are ways that we can leave some kind of a financial impact beyond my life here. But another way to think about it is really in terms of my legacy. And my legacy simply asks the question, what is it about me, my life, and who I am that's going to have impact beyond my life here? More importantly, Jesus is talking about how what we do on earth does have lasting impact, for good or for bad, beyond this life. God told Moses in the law, you might remember this disturbing verse, the sins of the fathers will be visited upon their children to the third and fourth generations of those who reject me, but the steadfast love of God to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my commandments. What Moses was talking about was, what God was talking about through Moses was legacy. How we make an investment of our faith into the lives of those who come after us, our children. I mean, this morning we gathered this baptismal font, and that's exactly what we talked about. The importance of the sowing faith into the lives of these children, that is leaving a legacy. That's doing something now that has some eternal consequence and that lasts beyond what we do as a church here. And what that means really for us is we start reevaluating what is truly important in this life. Jesus is challenging us to constantly be asking the question, what is it that I treasure in this life? And is it things that will simply be passing away, or is it things that will last beyond me? Paul talked about that experience. After his conversion, you might remember in the book of Philippians, Paul begins to look at his life and all the things that he valued so much of which were his accomplishments here, even his religious accomplishments. And he began to talk about how confident he had been in his life and who he was. He said, I was a Hebrew born of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee as to the law. I was righteous. As to righteousness, I was blameless. But he goes on to say, all of these things that I value so much, I have come to regard as trash. Things that you just throw away. Because of the surpassing greatness I've discovered of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And that what I really want now more than anything else, he says, I want to know Christ. And I want to become like Him that I might find the resurrection that He found. The resurrection that I want to find something lasting, something beyond that Paul talked about. So when Paul started storing up his treasures in heaven and not on earth, valuing things that would last beyond his life here, he found that he was set free from fear and guilt and anxiety and condemnation about the things he was valuing now. He also went on to say that he felt he had discovered the key to contentment, he said, in any and all circumstances. He said, I know what it is to have a little, I know what it is to have a lot. And it's not really what matters. He discovered contentment was found in something more than this, bigger than this. What he discovered is the more we try to hold on to things here, the more they slip through our fingers. The more anxiety they produce for us. Maybe the more despondent we get as we see them slipping away. So Jesus says, now is the time for us to start asking ourselves, what am I doing with my time and my talent and my resources in this one life that I have to live here on earth? Remember how Job put it, naked, I came to this world naked, I'll leave it. But what am I doing with my life while I'm here? I mentioned earlier we're having this lunch afterwards, and it goes to benefit Mission on the Move, the ministry of Mission on the Move. That ministry was started by a man named Ed Cato. Ed Cato lived in a little, very modest place over in Guyton, Georgia. He moved there when he retired. He was a Methodist pastor. Ed died this weekend. He was 95 years old. He started Mission on the Move after he retired. He was almost 70 years old. He starts this mission, and he goes down to Tapachula, Mexico. He doesn't speak a word of Spanish, but he has this heart for people that are broken and hurting, and particularly for children. And he began to discover all these children that were in these prisons in Mexico with their parents. And he began to go to build relationships with these parents and pull these children out of these prisons and create a home for them where they could go to school and have a life. And he did that in Honduras. He did that in Mexico after he retired. Now, when I spoke at Edsburg, he retired from Mission on the Move just a few years ago. He was in his 90s when he retired from Mission on the Move. He never really left it completely. But I spoke at his retirement event, and Ed loved to fish. And one of the things I talked about is retirement. I said, what if Ed had just gone fishing when he retired? How many children whose lives literally have been saved because he decided to do something with his life, even in retirement, on the that would have eternal consequence, lasting eternal consequence, instead of just investing himself in treasure, something that was going to slip away from him. Jesus' wisdom and his warning here is where our treasure is, our heart will be also. He said, in other words, our heart is the center of our being. It's the command center of our lives. And what we treasure in here will also be what will control our lives. This is what holds power and sway over me, what I treasure here. And it's pretty obvious here, and from what follows in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking here about material things specifically. We'll talk more about that in coming week because he talks more about that. But maybe one of the keys to what Jesus was saying in terms of wealth and money is something we mistakenly treasure on earth is where he warns with this line, those who lay up treasures for themselves, he says. And I think maybe that for themselves thing is the part. Maybe it's not storing things up. Maybe it's when I'm storing things up only for myself. Remember that little story Jesus told about the rich fool, the man who had the abundant harvest, and he tore down his old barns and built new barns. He stored up all these things. He said, I'm going to eat and drink and be merry the rest of my life. I've got it made. I'm secure. And Jesus said, you know, your life will be required of you tonight. So if you die and you store up all these things for yourselves, who are they? Whose are they going to be? And so it will be for those who are not rich towards God, he said. But the whole key was, what are you doing? Is it all for yourself? Is what I'm doing with my time, my talent, my money, is it all for myself? Because if it's for myself, it will quickly be passing away. My life will be passing away. But if we store it up for others, if we do it in serving others and blessing others, then maybe we're storing up some treasures in heaven, he said. I preached on John Wesley's motto for handling money one time. I thought for today it seemed a fitting passage. You might remember it. Wesley said, this is the way we ought to handle money. He said, make all you can. Nothing wrong with making money, he said. Make it honestly, but make all you can. Secondly, he said, save all you can. Not by hoarding it up, but by living frugally, simply, not being excessive and not wasting. But you do those, you make all you can, and you save all you can, Wesley said, for one final, more important purpose, that you could give all you can. That you could make a difference in your giving. For Wesley, it was a way of protecting our heart from treasures on earth owning us and being able to store them up in heaven. So maybe as that great hymn that we sing sometimes says, we could cast down our golden crowns around a glassy sea. But once again, what Jesus is teaching his followers, as he's always teaching, is about perspective on life and it's about priorities in life. And it can be applied to more than money. I remember my grandmother. My grandmother had one child. That was my father. And she used to say about my father, he's my heart. That's my heart. We know what he means by that, right? She treasured her child in this adulthood. When she had grandchildren, my sister and I, she would say that about us. Oh, you're my heart. And I know it's a figure of speech, and we rightly treasure our relationship, our treasure for our children or our grandchildren. I mean, here we gathered at that baptismal font. We saw a child that was treasured. You know, in infant baptism, one of the things that I always emphasize is this child belongs to God. The child is not ours. Hard it is for us to get our head around that. Certainly get our heart around that. The children are not ours. God has entrusted them to us. Because God willing, our children, you know, they're going to grow up. They're going to hopefully build a relationship of their own. And they're going to move on into their life, right? We're going to have to let go of them as they do. You might remember that passage in Genesis that says, for this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. In other words, the things will change. So we have to learn to let go. Even of the things that we treasure, like our children, we have to be prepared to let them go because they belong to God, not to us. But thinking about children in terms of our treasure, this treasure principle, you might say, we can't take them with us. In other words, maybe we say, we can't keep them with us all the time because they have a life to live of their own. But we can send them on ahead. And we do that by sowing faith into their lives. We sow faith into their lives by how they see us live our faith. How they see us live our faith out of how we do our work and the ethics and the values in which we carry ourselves. How we spend our money. How we value God's church and God's people. All of those things are making an internal investment into our children because we can't hold on to them. But we can't give them something that will last beyond this life. Paul talked about this concept and called it sowing to the Spirit. He said if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal things. But if you sow to the flesh, the thing, this earth, he said, you'll reap destruction. So we can treasure all kind of things on earth. And our heart, our life, our identity, our passion can all be bound up in those things. Anything from work or vocation to success or wealth, from physical appearance. Read Ecclesiastes sometimes. You're going to see Solomon tell us a whole story in there about searching through things on earth that he could not find that gave him a sense of meaningfulness that would last beyond this. The emptiness that left him with. So I'll just leave you with one important question to always be asking, that Jesus is asking us, is how do you know what you truly treasure? The 139th Psalm ends with a little prayer that invites God to search my heart and show me what's in there. Because that's where we treasure things. Show me what has power over me. Show me what I'm trying to hold on to that will be impossible to hold on to. But I think in a purely practical sense, maybe the way to do this is not just with a prayer. Maybe it's just to look at where I use my time and where I spend my money. And I'll find out what I treasure. Or maybe in my case, I just need to go back down and empty that safe deposit box down to the bank one more time and see what I have in there alongside that gold coin that's been sitting in there for a long time. What do we treasure?